Cold are the people, winter of life. We tremble in shadows this cold, endless night. Frozen in the snow lie roses sleeping, flowers that will echo the sunrise. Fire of hope is our only warmth. Weary, its flame will be dying soon.
Voice in the distance, calling the night. On wind you enfold us, you speak.
Spirit among us, shine like the star. Your light that guides shepherds and kings from afar. Shimmer in the sky, so empty, lonely, rising in the warmth of your son's love. Star star, your light that guides shepherds and kings from afar. Shimmer in the sky, so empty, lonely, rising in the warmth of your son's love. Star unknowing of night and day, Spirit, we wait for your loving son.
Merry Christmas! Let the grand celebration begin. From the east coast of Whidbey Island to Chaplain Mark and Kelly Cook and their family as they serve in the United States Navy in Okinawa, Japan. From the Midwest to the Hawaiian Islands, from Clinton to Coopville, let heaven and nature sing. Let us sing now, joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His
its blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Let heaven and nature sing Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Good news. Good news. We thank you, Lord, for good news in this season of darkness. Give us joy, give the world joy, and may all creation sing the praises of the Christmas child born in Bethlehem. Amen. We started the Advent journey 4 weeks ago with the lighting of the prophet's candle. Now, George Fisher has come in this evening to read for us, and he's going to read the prophecy of Isaiah, the foretelling of the Messiah. George, thanks for being here.
The lesson is from the 9th chapter of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, George. You have increased our joy. Give our love to Carol and your family. And now, as a bridge to our Christmas gospel reading, Sorrel McCarthy is going to sing, O Holy Night.
Long lay the
Sorrel, beautifully done. A gift to us, our love to Grandma, Arlene Diamond, this Christmas. The Christmas gospel now comes to us from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Christmas gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And what a beautiful reading it is that we share every year on this holy night. Hot dog, holy mackerel, my oh my, pandemic or no pandemic, we have finally made it. We have made it to Christmas. Now, Christmas Eve is the biggest night of the year. It is the night of grand celebrations for families, a night of wonder and waiting for children, a night of stories and time-honored traditions, a night to remember Christmas celebrations from years past and dear loved ones who shared the journey with us. I hope that you will find time to reminisce this Christmas. Sit by the fire and recall your earliest memories of Christmas, and then share those stories with others. Now, Christmas, as you probably noticed, is strategically placed in the calendar year. It is no accident. It's no accident that Christmas occurs in December as we mark the return of the sun. It is no accident that one of the stars of the show in the Christmas story is the Star of Bethlehem. Inherent in the Christmas story is the promise that darkness will not be able to overcome light. Christmas Eve looks back to events that occurred 2,000 years ago, and it points forward with hope to a new year, a new beginning, and a new day. Easter and Christmas, the two big celebrations of the church here, Easter celebrates the resurrection. Easter marks the start of spring. When Easter comes, the masters and the mariners are close at hand. But Christmas Eve is the Super Bowl. Great crowds come out to hear the Trinity choir, to gather around a table that welcomes sinners like me. Great crowds come out to sing their favorite Christmas carols. And of course, it would not be Christmas without the grand finale. Holding those candles high, singing Silent Night together as the flames of 300 candles merge to illuminate an otherwise darkened sanctuary. Merry Christmas, my friends. It is Christmas 2020, the Super Bowl. And look around. There's no one here. Just a few. The pews are empty. The chairs in the choir loft are lonely. The sound of children is absent on this night. And my voice echoes in an empty room. I would tell a joke or two, but no one is here to laugh, and I don't find my material to be particularly funny. The church is empty this night, and it has been that way since Easter. And of course, we are not alone. This scene is being played out in every corner of the globe and in every human family. It's Christmas 2020. Look around. Our church and our homes are empty. Celebrations have been canceled. There are few presents under the tree, if there is even a tree in your home at all. And the Christmas Eve feast will not be happening as usual this year. Rudolph is wearing a mask, and Santa can only do a flyby this year. After all, who knows where he's been? Who knows who he has been with? No, he's not going to be allowed to come down my chimney this year. It's Christmas 2020, and the people of every land are plagued by pandemic. Our frail humanity is painfully apparent as humans suffer together. Every community has been affected in some way. And at a personal level, in our day-to-day lives, our world has become very small. We venture out only briefly. We limit our interactions. We keep our social distance. We, in fact, have no social life anymore. Our children are at home. They're not in school. They miss their friends. They miss their activities. Everyone's suffering at one level or another. In 2020, for the sake of physical safety, we put our mental health in jeopardy as we maintain our isolated and intimate bubbles. Yes, our world has shrunk from the expanse of the globe to the four walls of our home. In place of Hawaii, we now go to Payless. In place of Paris, we now go to the post office. And then we quickly hurry back home to safety. Christmas Eve, the Super Bowl, and there is no in-person attendance. In 2020, love looks like an empty church. But the darkness, which is real this Christmas, will not overcome the light. No season lasts forever. The sun has finally ceased its relentless retreat from us, and a baby is born in Bethlehem, and vaccines are being distributed, and Luke Gondarius got into Stanford University. And every day, kindness is on display. Look around you and you will see that most people are kind. Empty tables, and empty sanctuaries cannot stop Christmas from coming to us this year. Julius was a friend of mine. He was older than my father when I met him. He was a retired Lutheran pastor with a thick Estonian accent. I was just out of seminary, and I knew nothing more than I know today, perhaps, but nothing still. We sat together one day, a cup of coffee in hand, a crackling fire warming his house. On that December day on Bainbridge Island, I asked Julius about his most memorable Christmas. He paused in reflection. His mind traveled back, and he told me about the Christmas of 1943. It was the year, he said, that I learned what Christmas was all about. It was brutally cold. A brutally cold winter on the eastern coast of the Baltic Sea in northern Europe. And the world was at war. Julius was a Lutheran pastor in Soviet-occupied Estonia. His homeland had been overrun by Joseph Stalin's Russian army. Then one day there was a knock at the door. Armed soldiers had come to him. He was to be detained for questioning. A few hours maybe, and you will return home, they told him. There was no time to say goodbye to his young bride. He walked out the door with the shirt on his back, and after a less than pleasant interrogation, he joined other able-bodied countrymen who had also been detained. They were taken by train to a forced labor camp. If war is hell, and it most certainly is, then this was the next door neighbor, a place of suffering and death and despair. As the temperature fell in the winter of 1943 and the snow piled up, more and more detainees were overtaken by exposure, malnourishment, or exhaustion. And those who did not work hard enough were beaten and intentionally left to die in the snow as a clear message to the others. Julius paused and took a sip of his coffee, clearing his throat, trying to compose himself. I sat wide-eyed, unable to say much of anything. In the brutal winter of 1943, Julius tried to be an agent of hope, encouraging the detainees to persevere and to hold on to hope. This behavior came to the attention of the guards and was soon reported to the commanding officer of the camp. He would have none of it. He would not tolerate a Lutheran pastor praying with his prisoners. So the guards seized Julius from his bunk late one night. He was knocked to his knees before the commanding officer. He was told to stop his Christian work, or he would be shot. It was then that they put a rifle to his belly and a revolver to his temple, and they said, "Deny this Jesus now, or you will not leave here alive." 45 years later, as he told me this story, a tear ran down the old man's face as he recounted what it was like to be returned safely to the barracks in the middle of the night. "Be silent and go to sleep," the guards told him. But sleep would not come for Julius. He fell to the ground and wept bitter tears, and he told me for the first time in his life, he knew how Peter felt when the cock crowed on the night that he denied Jesus. A few weeks later, it was Christmas Eve, 1943. The year would soon be over. Certainly 1944 could not be worse than 1943, could it? None of the men knew now. None of the men knew what their fate would be in the year to come. They did not know if they would ever be free again. They did not know if their wives and their children were safe, if they were alive or already dead. And all that they had on that Christmas was each other and a story of God breaking into the human story, the story of God with us, Emmanuel, the Christmas story. In the darkness and bitter cold of a Russian winter, as the sun was about as far away as freedom, the men managed to drag a scraggly bush into the barracks. They had no candles or decorations, but they had a few small medicine bottles, and they were able to steal a small amount of kerosene from a lamp. And in the hushed tones, they held cold, emaciated hands around a rather pathetic but beautiful Christmas tree. It was extremely dangerous. But there, surrounded by the utter darkness of the barracks and in the utter darkness of the world, one by one they lit their bottles and held a flickering light of hope in a quivering hand. They had no presents to give. They had no food to eat. They had no instruments to play, no loved ones to hug, but Christmas came just the same. Julius told them the Christmas story. They each recounted the traditions that they had enjoyed in years past. They cried and they sang almost silently the Christmas carols of Estonia. They prayed for their families separated by war. They prayed that peace would return to their beloved homeland and they too might return home. Now, Julius said that it was most certainly not the happiest Christmas of his life, but it was the most profound, the most real, the most authentic to his faith, the most consistent with the story of a young couple who would be alone on Christmas. Mary and Joseph would hold on through the labor. They would face the dangers of childbirth, and then they would run. They would run for fear of their lives to Egypt, refugees on an uncertain journey. The Christmas of 2020 will be unlike any other for us. The house is empty on Christmas Eve, but this pandemic will not last. We will overcome the darkness. You see, in God's equation, death and darkness never get the last word. The days of summer will return, and 2020 will be remembered as being not nearly as bad as the winter of 1943. Christmas Eve, a stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem, a frightened teenager by the name of Mary. Just hours after childbirth, she is overjoyed and she is afraid. She is hopeful and she is uncertain. Tears of jubilation are commingled with the tears of abject terror. What was God up to? What would happen now? What would the future hold for the baby that she held? Welcome to Christmas. Welcome to Christmas. Carl is going to sing for us.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises are. Your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
I think it's safe to say that Mary did not know, but then none of us know what tomorrow will bring. But I believe that when it comes to this pandemic, we are closer to the end than we are to the beginning. And that gives me great reason for hope this Christmas. Let us pray together. Christmas child, come to us tonight. Give us comfort, give us peace, give us hope, and give us purpose. Use us this day and always to spread light and love to the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And what would Christmas Eve be without the candlelight and the singing of Silent Night? Now, members of our church council and our staff have come out tonight to be with us for this closing hymn. We will illuminate this mostly empty sanctuary as we will look forward to Christmas Eve 2021, when you will join us and we will celebrate in person. We're going to light those candles and we're going to hold them high now as we sing Silent Night together.
Silent Night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
so tender and mild, sleep in a heavenly peace, sleep in a heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born.
Christmas, my friends. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. Celebrate safe and bring on 2021. Till next time, Merry Christmas.